And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
Welcome into One Bills Live. Happy Friday to you. You made it to the end of the week, and your treat is some Buffalo Bills football, preseason football, that is, on Saturday afternoon. Matty Glab alongside Steve Tasker filling in for Chris Brown as we finish out the week here. We are back at One Bills Drive, obviously, if you're watching on MSG. If you're listening to us, we made the trip back to Buffalo from Rochester. Crazy that training camp is already over in Rochester. Yeah. Now, practices will still go on here in Orchard Park. The guys have their preseason game on Saturday. They're here today kind of walking through things, getting ready for that first preseason game. And then we'll go into practices for the next couple weeks as we lead up to that Thursday night game. The Bills got to start a little bit earlier than everybody else in the NFL. The Rams and the Bills did, since they do have that season opening game. So the clock is ticking. Excited to finally have a preseason game, a home one here on Saturday afternoon. I know we both feel it. The players feel it, that it is time to play against somebody other than themselves.
It's so great, because the best part about today is you kind of get everybody, hey, what you doing for the Bills game tomorrow? Right?
I mean, I know, it's
like
it's wild.
We finally made it to a game. I was telling you just before we went on the air, I'm like running around. All morning. Get here this morning.
I didn't know if Steve was going to show up for the show.
Right.
I was like, we need to give him a phone call? Where is this man?
I skidded to a stop here in front of the studio, right at my chair in the studio, because we this morning we had production meetings for the broadcast tomorrow. So we sat down. It was, it was me and Andrew Catalan, and Joe Pender, the producer, Murph was in there, Eric Wood was in remotely, and all the producer director, and we sat down with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, and start talking about the game, what they thought about it. Well, you know, the players, who's going to play, who's not going to play, some stuff that is, you know, understandably off the record, and some of the stuff that is for the broadcast. And at the end, it's by far the most interesting part about being a broadcaster. It's one of the most fun things I had to do as a broadcaster for CBS all those years, being an analyst for game days, was sitting down with head coaches in the NFL and having them talk a little bit off the cuff and off the record about how things were going, what was really going on, and how, you know, it's just some good stuff in there.
Yeah,
really good stuff.
For those of you who don't know, leading up to games, leading up to preseason games, regular season games, if you are a part of the broadcast, you do have a production meeting every week where you get to sit down with usually the head coach and maybe a couple players too, so you can get some content as you're leading into the game. So anything that stood out that was not off the record from those conversations that we can talk about as the Bills are getting ready here for that 4 p.m. kick tomorrow against the Indianapolis Colts?
We talked to Sean for quite a while, and then we talked to Brandon as well. And Sean was just talking about, who's going to play, who's not going to play, all of that stuff that was interesting. And they're also, their concerns about injury and how injured they're going to be. There's going to be some player transactions probably today a little bit, guys getting activated. And when that happens,
defensive tackle Ili Anku was just activated from the PUP list. He was out for the entirety of training camp. Maybe came in the last day, I want to say, he was dressed and in pads. So he's finally activated. So team is starting to get healthier and healthier, which is exactly what you want to see. Because what comes next is, okay, preseason games start, and after every preseason game, every Tuesday now here, leading up to the season, there's going to be cutdowns. So this Tuesday, it's going to be a cut to 85. The Tuesday after that, it's cut to 80. The Tuesday after that is cut to 53. Right. So Brandon Bean, the coaching staff, the scouting department, they're going to have to start to make decisions as to what they want their roster to look like here in the 2022 season. That's why preseason games, one of the many reasons why preseason games are so important.
Absolutely. And it's also for this coaching staff, particularly on the offensive side, they're going to know how this is going to work with, with Ken Dorsey being upstairs, downstairs. They'll probably try it both ways during the preseason. Joe Brady. He's going to be the guy that sits next to Josh on the bench now. All of that, this logistics stuff that's going on. Also, Sean said, you know, he spends the, and you've seen it. We got to watch practice at training camp. Sean McDermott is like the lead official. So like the play's going on, he blows the whistle. Mm-hmm. He's the one that calls the penalty. He's the one that spots the ball. He says, give me a third and eight. He's trying to keep that all going. Plus, he's trying to protect his quarterbacks from getting hit, his running backs from getting hit. You know, all this, you know, keep a lid on the violence, right? So he's got all that going on. And that's what he does during practice. He goes, it's going to be nice to be a coach.
To not have to do any of that.
So that goes into the mix as well, plus all the new stuff with the new voices in the headset, and they're getting used to it. He said even they've gone so far in practice as to, like, unexpectedly flip the switch on the offensive coaching staff's ability to talk to each other. Like, the headsets go out in a game, which is, you know, that if you're on the road and the other team's got any gamesmanship, they have a conveniently timed outage of your headsets. You know, you got to be ready for that. So he did that for, you know, Ken Dorsey made him deal with that. So all of that now is in an atmosphere where your players can, you know, your players, you have to adapt it for your players, and your players have to adapt to your adaptation as coaches and all of that. It's, there's a lot going on. There's a million moving parts in an NFL game. One of the most interesting things about this, Sean McDermott told us, and he said it in the press too, and then so did Brandon Bean. We saw a little of it in the return to the red and blue. You remember, you know, we went out there as a big practice and fans in the stands, kind of nice atmosphere, right? There are going to be players who have really played well during training camp who struggle when the lights are on.
Which is a weird thing to think about as somebody who watches the game as a fan, to think, you know, this should translate. If, for example, we've seen a lot from players like Khalil Shakir and Christian Benford talking about rookies, you expect then for it to translate to the field for these preseason games. And if it doesn't, as a fan, you're kind of scratching your head going, well, he was making plays against starters in practices, and why has he turned into somebody who we haven't seen his number, or we haven't
disappeared,
heard his name at all in preseason.
He's on the field and we haven't seen him.
Why, you know, why does that happen?
For me, and trying to, and you played competitive sports. I mean, you get out there, and what happens most notably, and this is, and youth coaches can tell you this and everything. What happens as an athlete? You're out there and you're playing, and you finally got to this point where you've always wanted to be, or you've gone further than you ever thought you could. You start to think about the consequences if it goes wrong. And that tends to dominate. It dominates your train of thought. You can't let the, what happens if
this?
You
got the yips.
What happens now? Where do I go from here? What happens? You know, if something goes wrong, if I make a mistake now, it's all gone. And that's the mindset that you slip into as a young player, instead of just the opposite. Not only did I make it this far, you know, you got to get that mindset as, watch me now. This is what I was, you know, you got to, it's almost like you're going to show off.
You got to turn it up a notch.
You got to turn it up a notch. You got to think, not only this, I'm going to go for it now. I don't care what happens. I made it further than I did. I'm just going to show off. Here we go. That's the mindset, right? Mm-hmm. So some kids get that, some young guys get that, and some don't. But when you get out there for the first time, it's unfamiliar. It almost seems like, how's come we're playing? I've been growing up playing football. This seems like we're playing polo now. What are we doing here? This is like a whole different, you know, it feels like you're even playing a different sport on a different planet.
The game feels very fast for these rookies, for these second years, your players even, and you're trying to learn a new offense. You're trying to learn a new defense. We've heard multiple players who have played here or who have came here via free agency that have said, this is not an easy offense to play in. This is not an easy defense to play in. This takes time to understand, to feel free in. And so one thing that you might see, what you're talking about, is some of these younger players may not look like they're playing truly free out there. It's the, I have to think about the call. I have to then – translate what I'm thinking about to my actions on the field while the ball is being snapped and I'm playing against guys that are 5 years older than me that are moving at the speed of light, and I'm trying to get the call right, and I'm trying to either match up against my receiver or move or drop out of this because this is the shift or the motion happened right before the ball was snapped. There's a lot of stuff that goes on.
There's a million moving parts, and you feel like you're the central cog of the entire operation, right? And if you mess up, the whole stadium's going to collapse, right? That's the kind of mindset you get into where everything you do wrong is catastrophic and you can't get out of it, right? That's what happens when these guys go out there. And that's one of the things, and like I said, when we brought this up, McDermott's watching for that. They saw a little bit of from some players in the blue and red, return to the blue and red, when, you know, the place was half full. And then they, you know, some of these players that went in there, that the young players, you know, it was a little bit too big for them. They kind of zapped their head, and their attitude was a little bit playing not to lose, mm-hmm. playing afraid, on their heels emotionally, that kind of thing. And so that's something that Sean McDermott spoke to us about today, and so did Brandon Bean. I think that's a big topic here as we get into the early parts of this preseason and tomorrow's game at 4 o'clock. They're going to get a chance to see these guys because now I know the Bills fans are awesome. The stadium's not going to be full tomorrow, but it'll be electric.
Yeah, it'll be loud.
It'll be electric.
Yeah,
and they got to get their minds around it. Mm-hmm. They got to get their minds around it, and we'll see what happens.
I want to ask you this question about preseason games. Since you've played in the NFL, you know what it's like to already be solidified as a starter and kind of take a back seat to the preseason games, which when you were playing, how many preseason
games?
Four. And even before that,
there were six.
There were six, which is an insane amount of games to play before the season
begins. Maybe there was six when I came. I don't know. I don't remember.
Wild.
Don't remember. Yeah.
But Sean McDermott said quarterback Josh Allen is not going to play in Saturday afternoon's game. I don't think any of us are shocked by that. He said the rest will be an individual basis according to, you know, what that player needs. Do we need to see anything from him? Do we need him to prove something? Do we need him to feel more comfortable in the offense? Do we need him to feel comfortable in communication with Ken Dorsey? Who knows what it might be, but I think we can say a bulk of the starters aren't going to see the field for every single quarter,
right,
on Saturday afternoon. As a starter, as a veteran on this team, can you benefit from these preseason games at all? Or is this just a time for you to relax and help some of these younger players?
I'll say this. For me and for most of the guys, it's the game time, when you're sitting there watching the game, it's a total time to relax and enjoy and watch the young guys play. Because they become friends. Mm-hmm. They're part of the family now, right? You're playing board games at night with them. You're watching them get better. You're studying their one-on-one drills just like your one-on-one drills. You just want to sit and watch these guys play. And you kind of get there in as a veteran, Josh or Steph Diggs and, you know, Poyer and Hyde and these guys. They're standing around watching these young players thinking, okay, let's see how you do. Because this isn't even, you know, this is good, but it's not a real game. But let's see how you do. You really want to see, and you're cheering for them. You want the best for them. But you do learn something when you go back and watch the film. Because they'll study that. They'll bring this film up. So the game is for the veterans. And they're eating sunflower seeds. It's going to be great. Let's watch you play. And then they cheer for you. They're having fun because they know how fun it is to play. And we had Dawson Knox on the show yesterday, and he said
it's going to be nice.
I wish I could play. You know, you get out there, and it's like great to have a day off when you don't have to play.
But also
it's like, golly, man.
Let me at him.
Right. So there's a little bit of that going on. But for the most part, you'll see Josh. I mean, if Case Keenum goes out or Matt Barkley goes out and throws a couple of touchdowns or does this, Josh will be all over, man. It'll be awesome because it's fun.
Watch the sidelines in the preseason games.
But the post-game next day, watching the film, getting, you know, evaluating him and stuff, then you will learn something. Even Josh will learn something from Case Keenum and Matt Barkley. And Steph Diggs will learn things from Khalil Shakir. You know, from any of the other guys, Crowder and McKenzie and all these, anybody who does play his position, you'll learn about it because you'll see it against another defense. You'll say, oh, well, they were doing this, and we haven't seen that in practice. So that's kind of interesting And that's when the learning comes. But for the night of the game, after being in camp for 2.5 weeks, oh, my gosh,
put a hat on.
Give me a lawn chair and a beer.
Get your sunflower seeds out.
Right, that's right. I mean,
get your Gatorade.
They seriously, if they allowed it, the players would be sitting in
lawn chairs
and popping, cracking cold ones. They'd be watching these guys. Because that's basically the attitude. And they just, they got the best seats in the house.
Which is good. They deserve that. They deserve a time period or a couple of days here, which some of them are getting vet rest days through practices, but they definitely deserve a little bit of a break before they go full throttle for 18 weeks in the regular season and then hopefully long into the playoffs. All right, Friday afternoon show for us. So you know what that means, Friday fan mailbag. We're going to answer a bunch of questions that you guys tweeted at us. If you haven't done so yet, go ahead and tweet at Steve or I or One Bills Live. You can also give us a call here at 803-0550 if you have any last pressing questions before that first preseason game at 2 o'clock. Steve kind of talked about it a little bit. He was with Andrew Catalan and Cynthia Freeland. They're going to join us for a little bit of a round table. We're going to get all snuggled here on the desk.
Yeah, Cynthia Freeland. Yeah, Cynthia Freeland and Andrew Catalan are going to join us here.
I don't know
set.
If we've had four people on set since COVID.
Oh, no way.
I'm excited. I'm excited for it.
Absolutely.
But they're going to help us break down what we need to know for this Saturday preseason game. Their thoughts on the team this season. Cynthia was at a practice, couple days ago, I want to say. She was riding around in Josh Allen's golf scooter, if that's the correct terminology for
yes,
that
that's
thing.
Right.
But she had her Bills bucket hat on and was riding all over the St. John Fisher Field, which was hilarious. So she'll be on with us at 2 o'clock. The Buffalo Bills are now in Orchard Park full-time. We have closed training camp at St. John Fisher University. It was an awesome time to be there for 3 weeks, 15 practices, I want to say, is the number that the Bills had over in Rochester. And Steve, as we look back to the last couple weeks at St. John Fisher, what is your biggest takeaway from training camp there?
The biggest takeaway for me is a little bit like it has been the last couple of years and what we've gotten used to with Sean McDermott and particularly Brandon Bean. They build the roster. They are not afraid of saying goodbye to real contributors year to year. Their entire defensive line, not entire, but most of their defensive line this year is going to be new, a ton of new people. With all the guys down inside, Starlo Tulele is gone. Harrison Phillips is gone. Those guys are not here. And they are expecting their defense to be even better with a lot of new faces as steady contributors. They have not been afraid of that. Of course, Von Miller is going to be there, no doubt. They're going to have a starting corner opposite Tre'Davious White without Levi Wallace. The further we get into the future, I guess, and further away from the days when I played and the days just before when I played, the league was stagnant with player movement. If you had a guy, he was going to be yours forever. You just didn't see turnover like this. And now with the coaching techniques that McDermott and other coaches around the league have, they can acclimate these new faces like DaQuan Jones, Tim Settle, all these new guys that are coming in and get real contributions from them in 1 year. They've done it with one-year deals a couple of different ways, but this is going to be a much different team. Even though they may run the same defense, they got the same offense, same quarter, there's new faces in it that are going to get acclimated and be contributors and perhaps in a lot of ways make the team even better. To me, that never ceases to amaze me because that takes some really, really quality coaching.
I think one thing that also says about the coaching staff and about the scouting department is they're not too prideful. It's really easy to be prideful and draft a player or get a player in free agency and want to keep in here for a few years to be able to say, no, we brought this player here for a reason. I knew he was going to fit in this offense or this defense. It's going to pan out. Maybe it doesn't, and maybe you keep the player there a couple couple years longer and it ends up not working out for the entire team, this team knows, okay, this player could give us a couple years here or a few years, or this player gave us one or two years and we know they don't fit in the system, so let's move on to somebody else. And that's what this coaching staff and scouting department has been able to do really since Sean and Brandon walked in the door. We know what the roster looked like after their first season, how much turnover really happened, how they had to let go of some really big name players, which are never easy decisions to make, but it ends up being for the betterment of the team as a whole. I think the biggest takeaway for me for training camp is I think this defensive line is going to be the real deal this season. The addition of Von Miller, not just what he and himself will be able to do on that defensive line, but I think how he's going to bring up guys like Greg Rousseau and Ed Oliver and Jordan Phillips and Daquan Jones and Tim Settle. I think he is adding so much to this defensive line. It wasn't a terrible defensive line last year at all. They were able to get to the quarterback. They were able to sack quarterbacks. They weren't at the bottom of the league in every stat line if you look at defensive linemen. I just think this is going to be an added piece that really takes this group as a whole to the next level. So I'm really looking forward to this defensive line, the way that they rotate. I think this is also going to be very, very beneficial for an older player like Von Miller to be able to rotate in and out. So I just think this unit as a whole is going to take a big step forward. I also think about the offense as a whole and look back to last season and the season before, and you're thinking, can Josh Allen take another step? He's already such a good quarterback. He's already broken so many records. What are you thinking he can take a step forward? Well, by watching practices, this training camp, I think that is totally possible, because him and Gabe Davis look like they just didn't even take a beat. Take some time off. They look like they are they look like they've been practicing together throughout the entire offseason. Their connection, I think, is going to light up this season, take a step forward this season. Isaiah McKenzie did a great job stepping up in that slot role this training camp. I know Jameson Crowder missed a few practices there. Isaiah McKenzie was able to get a lot more work in the practices that Jameson was not in. Khalil Shakir had some nice catches. Dawson Knox, O.J. Howard, Stephon Diggs, of course he was there making amazing plays and amazing catches. So I'm really excited to see this offense as a whole in 2022, because I think it's going to be special.
I do too. And in fact, since we're getting to the end of the training camp, we're going to do this thing again this year where we bring Maddie in every Monday on the show, and she's going to give out her Maddie Awards after Bills wins. So since we broke camp, and the last couple minutes here before we go to break, let's talk about your Maddie Awards for training camp. Here we go. Look at that. One Bills Live presents.
We're bringing it back.
Nice.
For 2022.
The Maddie Awards.
Presented by Energy Mark, the official energy supplier to the Buffalo Bills. All right, Steve, we're going to start first with most improved. I gave an offensive and defensive award to most improved. And for offense, I'm going to say Isaiah McKenzie is our most improved player. I think he's going to have an uptick in his role this season. It's something that the coaching staff talked about in the offseason, that Isaiah McKenzie did have an opportunity to step into more of a full-time role, more of a bigger role from the season's past, whatever you want to call it, because Cole Beasley is not on the team anymore. So that left a void at slot receiver. Jameson Crowder is also on the roster. But Isaiah McKenzie, I think, is somebody that a lot of eyes turn to throughout practices. Josh Allen was asked yesterday when the media talked to him if somebody impressed him through training camp or if somebody stepped up, and he said Isaiah McKenzie, because of the way that he was able to kind of take on this role in training camp and also the understanding that he now has for the offense as a whole. You think about a player maybe who's not getting all the snaps, not getting all the reps, not a starting wide receiver, and then transferring into an opportunity to be somebody like that, the knowledge that you have to have in this offense, I think, takes a next step. And I think he was able to do that based on what Josh Allen said, based on how he's looked at camp. Isaiah did not drop a lot of passes.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right.
The routes that he was running, I think, were an improvement from last season, the season before, how he was able to get his hands on the ball in tight coverage and in double coverage in situations in the red zone.
Yeah.
Josh Allen loves a security blanket.
We had the production meeting this morning with Sean McDermott. We asked him, you know, about the slot position and stuff. He said one of the things about Isaiah that had happened, he's been here for a while now. When he came to Buffalo, he was a straight line kind of speed guy. And now, since he sat behind Cole Beasley and watched him and talked with him, his game has taken leaps and bounds over his instinctual ability just to find the area and the short area quickness and to have a great instinct for what Josh wants him to do and where he wants him to be. Totally a different player than he was 4 years ago when he got here, 5 years ago when he got here. And now, you know, you're seeing the benefits of it, of having a guy who hung around and then learned and got better, and now he's stepping onto the field.
He ran a route the other day in practice. I was like, I have never seen this before out of Isaiah McKenzie. The way that he was able to get in and out of his breaks, it reminded me of somebody like Cole Beasley, who, right. Yes, he has learned so much from during his time with the Buffalo Bills. For defensive and most improved, I'm going to say the defensive line. I kind of talked about this already, but I think they're going to take a big step forward here in the 2022 season, not because guys aren't on the roster anymore. Jerry Hughes, other players who are not a part of this team, played a big role on this team for so many seasons, and gave a lot to this team. But I think we've got some new faces in there. Von Miller, of course. I love the tandem of Von Miller and Ed Oliver. Those two have talked each other up so much during training camp. Ed Oliver looks like he's playing a lot more confidently because he has Von Miller on his defensive line. The defensive line kind of agrees that a player like Von Miller really ups your confidence. When you go out there, every single snap, every single play, you feel more confident when you're playing next to a proven guy like him, somebody who's already won a couple of Super Bowls. So that's why the defensive line is going to get my most improved award. As we move on, biggest shock was somebody else, another award that I wanted to do. And I think Christian Benford was my biggest shock. I look at some of the rookies, the people that we drafted, you know, first round, second round, third round, you expect those players to show up in training camp and to make some plays, make some highlight reel catches, pass breakups, whatever the position may be for what that player needs to do. Christian Benford was a sixth round pick for the Buffalo Bills. Sixth and seventh rounders, you're not thinking are going to do the same thing as first, second, and third rounders just based on their draft stock, what they did in college football. Now, Christian Benford did have 7 interceptions in 2021. So he did a lot at Villanova, which is where he played college football. Coach McDermott says he loves those smaller school guys because they have that chip on their shoulder. They've had to work for everything they've gotten. Christian Benford had pass breakups here, there, everywhere during training camp, and it wasn't just against younger players. It was against Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs. That is why he is my biggest shock for training camp, because he was competing at a high level with some of the players who are going to be starters on this roster this season. It wasn't too big for him in practices. Now, we'll see if this will transfer over into preseason games, because the lights are going to be on, the fans are going to be in the stands. Let's see what this rookie can do. But to see him play fast so quickly in this defense is a big shock to me.
Yeah, it has been a pleasant surprise, and we've got more Matty Awards. We're kind of up against the break, but you're right. I mean, he's been the most pleasant surprise of training camp, no question. Certainly they drafted him, and we got a chance to ask Brandon Bean about him today as well. He's got a great story. Both Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott described it in the same way. He's very quiet. So we'll see how that plays out on the football field. But no question, Christian Benford has been a really, really pleasant surprise for the Buffalo Bills. Has just surprised everybody. Because you don't – and we've talked about how deep the draft class has been. All these guys have played extremely well here in training camp. They've all played like they belong, which is unusual for any draft class. Mm-hmm. but for have to have a full draft class like the Bills have had and have every single
and
guy
based
flash.
On the roster that we already have,
right.
You're thinking by the time you get into the sixth and seventh round, which we've done the last couple years, not because of the player, just because of the situation on this team, mm-hmm. is the sixth rounder or seventh rounder even going to make this team?
Right.
And then a guy like Christian Benford proves himself
shows
on the field,
yeah.
and you're thinking,
that's right.
He could be valuable to this team.
Right.
All right, we're going to take our first break of the show. When we come back, maybe we'll finish up this Matty Awards and get into the fan mailbag. It's Friday afternoon. Stick with us here on One Bills Live. We're presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. We're back here on One Bills Live. Matty Glab alongside Steve Tasker, and we were doing our Matty Awards. That's going to be back for this season. So after every win on Mondays, I'm going to be giving out awards. Excited to do it for, I think it's season number 3. So we thought we would do some Matty Awards for heading into the preseason.
That's right.
Some training camp awards, the Matties. We got through a couple of them. So let's pick up where we left off.
We just did the most improved offense and defense, Isaiah McKenzie on offense, and the defensive line was the most improved for on the defensive side. And then we did the biggest shock of training camp was Christian Benford.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're up to most excited about. Who is it?
Am I most excited about? When these games start to count. It is one of the draft picks from this 2022 draft class, running back James Cook. I don't know if that's a shock to really anybody either, but it was really fun to watch him throughout training camp. I described him as, after we saw him in his first couple of practices, I said, this running back looks like he just floats out there. He is speedy. He's got good vision, a good twitch about him, good hands. He was involved in a lot of the passing game end of things and practices, caught a lot of passes from Josh Allen, Case Keenum, Matt Barkley, was involved in a lot of practices from first team to second team to third team. He was getting a lot of reps, as he should, as a rookie should, especially somebody as diverse of a player as James Cook is, trying to figure out, okay, how can he work in this offense? How can he shine the most? How can he throw defenses off? So we got to see a lot of James Cook in Rochester. So I'm most excited about him just because of what he offers. This is a pass-catching running back. This is a player that definitely fits in this type of offense when you're looking at weapons, when you're looking at how to diversify the offense, when you're looking at Josh Allen taking another step in his fifth year, a new offensive coordinator. It all kind of just makes sense. It's not easy to get a player like this on your team that is an elite player. We'll wait to see if James Cook turns into that. We know his brother is very elite, Dalvin Cook. But you think about a pass-catching running back as somebody who is really able to throw off and confuse defenses in, okay, who's lining up against this guy? Are we putting a linebacker on him? If he's lined out wide, are we putting a corner on him? How is this going to work out, a slot corner? And I think he's just going to be another tool, another weapon that you can plug and play and place here and there, whether it's in 22 personnel or 12 personnel,
right,
or 11, whatever you want to do. I think he's somebody that's going to up your ante when you're playing against some really good teams.
One of the things about him is that as good as this offense has gotten with Josh erupting and climbing into the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the NFL, the one thing they've done, two running backs in the third round, Devin Singletary and, of course, then Zach Moss. And they've had other guys come through and try and help out. You know, last year was Matt Breida. Duke Johnson is also hired this year. One of the things they've had that they've never had during this ascension of their offense is a guy like James Cook, a running back who can split. Now, they've done it with guys, but when you split out James Cook – they can't put a linebacker on him and man up on him.
Yeah.
So it's a different personnel set. They've never had that in this ascension of this offense. Now it's one, they're this upper echelon of quarterback. They got this elite quarterback in Josh Allen. They got Steph Diggs. They got Gabe Davis. They've got a slot receiver. They got all these weapons. Now they've got this running back who gives them the ability to both run the football and throw it really effectively with this guy's skill set. So you're right. That's the one thing I'm most excited about, not only because of the kind of player he is, but how what it allows their offense to do. They become much more versatile if he's on the field, split out wide, and they gotta say, well, ooh, you know what? We gotta think a second about this.
Are we gonna match up with personnel bigger? How are you gonna match up on defense?
That's the thing, and that's the and here's to simplify it. If James Cook's on the field and they bring in. They say, well, if he's a running back, so we're going to bring a third linebacker. We're going to bring a third linebacker in. We're going to go ahead and then he lines up out wide, and the Bills start throwing it all over the yard.
What do we got to do?
Big heavy linebacker guarding him, or even if it's not a heavy, even if it's like a guy like Matt Milano, he's going to struggle. So that gives him a problem. So if they come out and put a corner on him, now all of a sudden he's split out wide, and you put the cornerback out on him. Okay, so now he motions in. Now he lines up behind Josh. And you tighten it up, and all of a sudden they're running at this guy, and you got a cornerback trying to take on a pulling guard. You win that matchup too. So that's to simplify why he's so intriguing. Mm-hmm. That's it right there, and it's going to be fun to watch.
And Josh Allen is, of course, doing things to make himself a better quarterback in his fifth year, but players like James Cook help Josh also improve as the years go on. Players like this, different types of skill sets that you can add that just mesh with what you already have. So that's why I'm most excited about James Cook. Offensive MVP for me. We already know Josh Allen is a great player. We know Stephon Diggs is a great player. This is somebody who really impressed me in training camp. It's Gabe Davis. This kid was all over the field making plays and practices. The connection, the chemistry that he has with Josh Allen, I think is out of this world. What he was able to do in that playoff game, 4 touchdowns, the standards, the expectations for Gabe Davis this season are really high. He's going to have a bigger role in this offense. It is a lot to live up to, but Gabe is such a hard worker. He's somebody who said, I didn't take any vacations because I wanted to put in extra work this offseason because this season means a lot to me. It means a lot to the team. I know what our expectations are of ourselves, where we want to go, what games we want to win, how we want to make it all the way. And to be able to do that, I had to put more work in, and I couldn't take vacations. This is somebody who really doesn't take time off, and you could see that in practices. He was winning one-on-one matchups. He was catching deep balls from Josh Allen. He was running different routes. He was somebody who learned a lot of different positions, wide receiver positions, in his rookie season, and it's showing up now as he's getting older in this offense and older as an NFL player.
He's interesting because he made the club as a rookie when they totally revamped their wide receiver core. He came in 2020, and you know Steph Diggs was here, and that you know they totally upgraded that spot. And he made the team because he knew all the spots. He was a smart guy, learned how to do it. And the thing that which is great. And he had the 4 touchdown catch game. Okay, and, you know we're all he's sick of hearing about that, right?
So.
But the thing about him that I don't think he gets enough credit for is his ability, and it sounds crazy and basic when I say it, but he gets open.
He's like a magnet to the ball.
He gets when Josh throws him the ball, there ain't nobody around him. He really has separation wherever he is, and I think that's been his biggest asset for a quarterback like Josh. When Gabe Davis gets the ball thrown to him, he's open. He gets open, and that's... And while it said, well, yeah, of course, it's not easy, but he does it. And as he's a big target. He's a big dude. He's as big a wide receiver as the Bills have on their roster. And his ability to get separation, not only is he a big target, there's a lot of space around him to throw at. That's a great combination when you're dropping back and you got a pass rush coming and Josh just throws it at him. He is really, I think, has been underrated in his wide receiver skills because of the fact that he's been playing behind guys like Emmanuel Sanders and John Brown and Steph Diggs.
And here's why space matters in this offense and in the NFL and why you want space. Josh Allen said when the guys came back from off-season workouts, off-season break, whatever you want to call it, in April, I want to work on my yards after catch, on throwing receivers open. To be able to do that, you need space to get yards after the catch. Gabe Davis is able to get separation from his defenders. That allows you more space. That allows you the opportunity to get yards after catch after your quarterback, Josh Allen, is throwing you open. It's going to help the offense as a whole. It's going to help this offense get more yards, move the ball down the field, and in turn, hopefully score more touchdowns. He's going to have a bigger role on this offense this season. In this offense this season, he deserves it. He's definitely worked into having a bigger role. MVP for defense, Von Miller. He was all over the quarterback. He couldn't really do anything about it because it was training camp. You can't tackle in training camp. There's really no live periods. But he was able to win a lot of matchups against the offensive line. You watch him come flying off the edge, and he is right at Josh Allen in seconds, and the whistle blows, and that's when you know it counts as a sack. Obviously, Von Miller is old enough to know I'm not knocking down a quarterback like Josh Allen. I'm going to get myself in trouble if I do that. But he was flying around the field. So he's my defensive MVP for training camp. And then quickly before we head to break, best off-the-field moment, all the autographs signed. It was so fun walking into practice every day, walking out of practice every day. People hanging shoes from the rafters, sign my Air Force Ones, sign this painting that I have of Josh Allen or Deion Dawkins, or just cool people with stories. Players were able to connect with and meet so many of our amazing fans that belong to Bills Mafia. So that was my best off-the-field moment.
Yeah, and it was tons and tons of people showed up. I think it was probably, given the fact that the team had been away from St. John Fisher for a couple of years, and now that they were back, there was a kind of a refreshing feel to camp it was fun to be back. The expectations associated with the team, coupled with that, and the enormous crowds that were there, every ticket was used for every training camp practice that was open to the public. It was fantastic.
Steve Tasker was even signing autographs
on the last day. Three people wanted my autograph.
Oh, so three times was, yeah. 10, Tasker.
So there they were, and I told we were laughing because I was sitting there signing for these people, and one kid off to my right, they were, you know, people yell at you and they talk. They feel like they're, and it's great. You talk to them and it's like, hi, how you doing? While you're signing, you're saying, yeah, you know, how old are you and whatever. And yeah. And there's one kid down to my right, and he's I'm signing for everybody, and you know, everybody wants you to come down to their end where there's, you know, mm-hmm. there's a whole line of people along that railing.
Steve, come over here.
So,
come
you know,
here,
I'm 20
Steve.
Feet away from him, and you know, it's going to take me forever to get there. So the kid yells out, "Steve Jasker, you still look like you're 20." I was like,
directly going
like, you know
over
what?
To that
I'm
kid.
Coming over there right now and signing for you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I went down and signed for that kid. But I signed for everybody who it took me like 3 minutes to sign for everybody who wanted my autograph. So it was not a big deal out of my day. But it was fun. Fans were everywhere. It was a great atmosphere from day one all the way through day whatever it was, 21 yeah. or whatever. It was a fantastic time at St. John Fisher. I was telling people around the production meeting table today, what a great job Fisher did for the Bills. Yeah. They really rolled out the red carpet. Their staff is fantastic.
The staff, the cafeteria people.
Everybody was great.
Fans,
so it was fun.
And it
looks like they're going to continue to go back there year after year.
They want to go back there. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen.
They're not just saying it. They really believe it. Even behind closed doors, they're saying, yeah, it's important for us.
Hey, you can build that team chemistry. It's a fast track to building that chemistry that you want to build in the beginning of the season. All right, when we come back, we will dip into the fan mailbag. Tweet us if you have any questions, any last pressing questions before Saturday's first preseason game against the Colts. Don't go anywhere here. We're One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health on Buffalo Bills Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back into One Bills Live. Kids Day returns to Highmark Stadium as the Bills host the Broncos for their preseason matchup on August 20th, presented by Fisher-Price. The Fisher-Price Junior Tailgate kicks off at 9 a.m. in Lot 6. It's bigger than ever, featuring a Power Wheels track, giant inflatables, a real fire truck, games, and more. Also, a limited quantity of Bills wristbands will be given out as a gate giveaway, and special concessions are going to be available this year as well, including popcorn, ice cream, cotton candy, snow cones, root beer floats, and a kids' lunch deal featuring a hot dog, chips, and the ultimate MVP, Capri Sun. Mobile ticketing only as usual. Go ahead and visit buffalobills.com/kidsday for more info. All right, we've got our Friday fan mailbag this afternoon. People have questions for us, Steve. Get to it. We're going to go first from Steve. He wants to know, why didn't the Bills bring in a rookie quarterback? Try to find a late-round or free agent gem, not to replace Allen, but for a premier backup or trade bait.
They probably would have done that, except they got a chance to sign Case Keenum, and Case Keenum has started games in the league and played well. He's the guy that is responsible for the miracle in Minneapolis to Steph Diggs. Probably got a resounding endorsement from their number one wide receiver about the kind of guy he is, the kind of person he is. They wanted to get a guy who could back Josh up. And he didn't have to be like Mitch Trubisky was last year, where he's kind of like Josh, a big, strong athlete, but a guy who had some experience, who they felt like with the players around him, they could win games with. They don't want to cash in the season if something happens to Josh for a month.
Yeah, you want a proven guy back there who can back you up, who's been in games. And I think Case Keenum and then Matt Barkley, too, they add a different type of presence to that room. Matt Barkley has been a backup before for Josh Allen. When Josh Allen was younger, he knows this offense. Case Keenum has played on different teams. He's played in big games. He has a more veteran quarterback room which is awesome to see.
This is not a club who has time for a rookie quarterback. He's not going to see the field. This rookie quarterback class was not good.
The quarterback room is supporting Josh Allen.
They don't need that in their room.
Yeah.
And this class coming out of college this year was not NFL caliber at this point. And they're not going to waste time drafting a guy to trade him. They want guys to come in and help them win now. So they didn't need that rookie quarterback thing. Now, certainly there's times when they could, but this is not one of the years where they did it, particularly when they got a guy like Case Keenum and a guy like Matt Barkley, who they knew very well. So that room is set up to support number 17, not for any individual.
Not for 17 to support somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's all about Josh Allen, and these guys are definitely helping him grow when it comes to the offense, when it comes to what he can do on the field, when it comes to seeing things from other teams. Case Keenum and Matt Barkley are those guys. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Andrew Catalan and Cynthia Freeland. They're going to join us live on set to break down what we need to know for Saturday's game against the Colts and what they think about this Bills team here in 2022. Stick with this here on One Bills Live. We're presented by Clyde Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
All right, welcome in to One Bills Live. Maddie Glab, Steve Tasker, joined by Andrew Catalan and Cynthia Freeland. As promised, these two are going to be part of the preseason broadcast tomorrow afternoon as the Buffalo Bills take on the Indianapolis Colts at 4 o'clock. Andrew's entering his seventh season as the Bills preseason TV play-by-play man, and Cynthia Freeland is entering her second preseason as second year as a preseason reporter for the Bills on the sidelines.
You know, Cynthia, it used to be my claim to fame used to be, you know, football player, all pro, all that. Now my claim to fame is that I was the analyst for Andrew Catalan's first NFL game ever.
Whoa.
It was like 10 years
ago. You're still a former football player. Yeah. You could still say
But that's not my claim to fame anymore. Now I'm famous for having worked with you for all those years.
So you guys are in here a day before the game. You've gotten to have your production meeting, gotten to sit down with Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean. Steve told us a little bit about what he heard or what he took away from the conversation. So, Andrew, I'll start with you first. As you begin to study this team, you begin to hear from Sean and Brandon, see things that have come out of training camp. What's one thing that's sticking out in your mind here as we're a day away from the first preseason game?
Well, I like what they said in our meeting today, if we just start with the meeting, in the sense that guys could have had really good practices so far in training camp, but how does that translate when the lights come on, when they're on the field against another team? And conversely, somebody who may have struggled so far this summer, do they flip a switch when the lights come on? So I think that was an interesting take that both Brandon and Sean made. And I think tomorrow, for me, I want to see these young cornerbacks play. I think that's obviously been a big storyline throughout camp. And now how they do against the Colts is something I'm looking out for.
And Cynthia, how about for you? Your analytics, you've seen this team at practice. You were in Rochester a couple days ago. So you're a part of the NFL Network broadcast that day. What's something that's at the top of your mind here as the Bills are going to host the Indianapolis Colts tomorrow?
I'm kind of excited because I think the storyline going out of last season was that, you know, with Tre'Davious White not being there, and then, of course, the kind of ending of the game that we all, you know, 13 seconds, whatever, we need to get into that. But without Tre'Davious White there, how those defensive backs play. And also, Leslie Frazier has been so masterful using more than four defensive backs more. Like, he kind of set the trend. He started doing it far more often than other teams did, earlier than other teams do. Now you see all of these teams copycatting that. So I like this, especially, I'm just going to put a button on what you said, because we get to see Matt Ryan. It's not like he's going to be playing against their backup quarterback or a lot of non-starters. This is against their one. So this could be something, especially in the AFC, which is a gauntlet of quarterbacks, top quarterbacks. You know, look at the number of great quarterbacks in the AFC just in general, and then look at the number of great quarterbacks that the Bills have to face. Yeah, we're going to need the defensive backs to really, like, help out, especially that the front has already been good. So let's add now to the back. So I'm excited for that.
You mentioned it, too, and I'll put this to you because you're the analytics person. The Bills, we talked to Leslie Frazier in the preseason, in the training camp, and I said, we had him on the show, and I said, you guys play five DBs all, like, constantly. I go, what do teams do, or do they try to pry you out of that personnel combination? Because they want to get a matchup, and the only matchup you give them is what they get. And he goes, yeah, they try it. And we get a lot of feedback from guys like, why do you play it again? You know, and sometimes it is a tough matchup for the Bills, let alone anybody, but they stick with it. What do you sense in that trend of five DBs matching three wideouts, obviously, but the trend in the league about personnel usage, particularly defensively?
Well, starting off, like, really, really macro, we're seeing a lot more, just the volume of passes in the league is just gone up. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, if you look at college, where some of these younger players, they're coming from, right? They don't see and diagnose two safety shells in college very well at all. They can't pick up zone on pass easily at all. So that's why you're starting to see motion with running backs to try to tip off which defensive players are assigned what. But in general, that kind of, like, the chess game of the offenses versus defenses, you have to kind of take what's coming out of college. Like, you could hear it with you see it with the Joe Burrows, you see it with the Patrick Mahomes, you see it with the Josh Allen. Those two safety shells, you can see the splits in their data. It's harder for them. But the caveat there, and this is a big one, you have to have two good safeties to be able to that. So you can't just throw it out with anyone.
So you're saying, like, if a team can't play those double safeties with these quarterbacks because they're too vulnerable.
Yeah, or if they're if the quarterbacks, they can't pre-snap, they understand man coverages coming out of college, because it's just like you and I, the more reps we take together, the better our broadcast is.
Right.
In college, they play a lot of man, and they and they've seen it, so they know what those looks are. But confusing them a bit with zones, especially tricky zones, and especially how Leslie Frazier keeps evolving linebacker play and then the safety play, like, where is this guy lining up? Whose assignment is who? So those types of things, as long as you stay ahead of it, it's a big advantage for the defense.
Right. Cynthia, you talked about the chess pieces that go into this game. Andrew, when you look at the roster that the Buffalo Bills have and guys that you think are going to play some snaps here tomorrow afternoon, who are some chess pieces that you're looking forward to seeing out on the field?
I think that you look at that rookie draft class. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many guys, you can go up and down and make a case you want to see all of them play. Certainly Benford at corner, I'm excited to see him. You've heard so much about him, and you've seen him make plays throughout the summer. I think the punter competition is something that might get sorted out, has to get sorted out in this preseason. So you'll see, you know, Matt Araiza not only punting, but holding is a big part of this, as we all know. So I think that the draft class, and we spoke about this morning in our meeting, Steve brought it up, on paper has a chance to be fantastic, but now you want to see those guys in a game situation, and that's what we'll get tomorrow.
Is there anybody at the top of your list that
James Cook, your girl loves fantasy football. Come on. I need to be able to go back to the NFL Network and tell everyone where exactly they should be drafting James Cook, because this pass-catching back has so much potential, and the way he looked in practice on Monday when we saw, I love the hand drills, and they were having a little bit of fun, maybe messing around a little bit on the side. They seem to be having a good time. There's something special in the air here, and I think that could be a really interesting one to watch.
Right. Just give us about this game in particular, playing the Colts. Matt Ryan, this is the first time in the big picture, people around the country are going, all right, Matt Ryan is not wearing, you know, the Falcons uniform. Let's see what he looks like. And this is a Colt team that could not have been more disappointed at the end of the year. I mean, we were talking here in Buffalo, the one team we don't want to face in the playoffs is Indianapolis, right? And then they didn't even make it. They got beat by Jacksonville. Well, the Bills got beat by Jacksonville as well. But that, to win an in against the worst team in the league and lose, they've got to be bitter. But now they got Matt. How's this going to play out with Matt Ryan in Indianapolis? They're a good football team. And is Matt Ryan going to be the missing piece? We're going to get a chance to find out tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so the biggest piece for me that the Colts provide any quarterback that's standing behind that O-line with that running back in this position in his career. So Jonathan Taylor just coming off being the rushing leader, and also doesn't look like he has, knock on wood, a lot of tread on the tires. I know he did coming out of Wisconsin, but he's still young in the league. So with those two things, you know what can happen? Play-action passing. And you know what happens when Matt Ryan has a good play-action pass game going? They end up in the Super Bowl. Now, we won't talk about how... He was an MVP. We won't talk about how that Super Bowl ended, because probably not how he wants to remember it. But ultimately, I mean, they were up on the Patriots till a little while. But but ultimately, the play-action pass is going to be so key. They do have some question marks in terms of who's going to catch those passes. But, you know, Michael Pittman has allegedly stepped up. We don't know yet. We'll see tomorrow, I bet. And then, you know, Alec Pierce, who's their rookie that they drafted, I think that will be an interesting too. It's a little Cincinnati Bearcat action there. So it'll be good to see. And Paris Campbell is fast. If nothing else, he is speedy.
The Bills defense was really good against play action passes last year in terms of quarterback rating, passer rating. So we'll see what that looks like if they decide to go into that play action here on Saturday. Now, Andrew, what question marks do the Indianapolis Colts need to answer here in the preseason? So fans, so coaches, so the scouting department feels better heading into week one.
Yeah, I've always been really high on the Colts since Frank Reich took over. I, like Steve said, am shocked that they lost that last game of the season. I mean, you saw them on Hard Knocks midseason last year. Just the culture that Frank has put in place. I think he's done a tremendous job. They have great pieces. Now they have a new quarterback again. I mean, that's been the thing. They have a new quarterback every year. And I'm not surprised. I think it's smart they're playing their ones tomorrow. I mean, you got to get out and just kind of run through some things. So I think that Matt Ryan will love, if he doesn't already, love Frank Reich. I mean, if you're a quarterback, you'd want to play for Frank Reich. But as Cynthia pointed out, who's going to catch the ball? I'm big on Pittman, 1,000 yards last year. But, you know, there's a lot of new pieces now they have to kind of put together, and I think it starts for them tomorrow.
Give us an idea about your thoughts coming out. The Bills with such high expectations, the highest in years and years. Well, that's not true. They had high expectations last year. It was just regional. It wasn't national. Now it's national. The Bills come in.
It was more than regional.
Last year?
It was, so it was more than regional.
Right. So they are, and Sean McDermott alluded to that. They said, what are you going to do with these expectations? And this is where we live now. Mm-hmm. And he's right. You come into a preseason like this, way different than they were 5 years ago when they took over. How do you think the philosophy of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean has changed, or how would you change it from then to now?
I mean, the biggest change, obviously, this year, it's going to be what's going on with the offensive coordinator. You know, mm-hmm. you lose a guy like Brian Daboll, who has been really the counterpart to Josh Allen, as Josh Allen has been growing. But I actually think it's the perfect time to make the switch, because now you have Josh Allen's already leading. He's, you know, the most combined, you know, rushing and passing yards. He's really already starting to get some, like, historical numbers going, and he's just a baby in the league in terms of how long he's been here. But ultimately, it's the time. He doesn't need Brian Daboll to teach him anymore. Now it can be more of a collaborative effect. So now it's like, what do you like to do? How do you want the slot to evolve? That's a space where you were asking a lot of questions today. How do you want the run game to support what we're trying to execute here? You know, he's the first quarterback in NFL history with at least 6 rushing touchdowns in each of his first 4 seasons. So this is like he's got these numbers, right? So ultimately now you can grow. He doesn't need the newbie stuff anymore.
Right. I'd say this too, Steve, and you know this, but I think Sean McDermott is in a great situation in the sense that your teams went to the Super Bowl year after year. And it seems to me that Sean taps into that. He'll go to a Jim Kelly. Last year when I did a game here with CBS and James Lofton, he asked James, how did Marv keep you guys going to get back year after year? I really feel that Sean is so curious, and he's got the right people around, like you, to say, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I think that works to his advantage and this team's advantage this year.
Interesting, too. And we'll talk about this on the broadcast tomorrow. You said something interesting in our production meeting about when to play. Because now this is new territory, and Sean McDermott alluded to it, 3 preseason games instead of 4. And, you know, back in the Stone Age, it was 6, right? So it's less and less games. And strategically, you want to play your guys to get them ready, the ones – balancing the injury thing, of course, but also, I mean, if you knew they weren't going to get hurt, I don't think you still play them 4 quarters in a preseason game, even if you knew they were invincible. You had a nice observation, an interesting point about how to choose when you play your ones.
I do think it's kind of to answer the specific question that you would like to know about your ones or your depth chart. So as you see some of these, I mean, Frank Reich is playing Matt Ryan. That is his starter. There's no bones about it. There's no quarterback out there.
They're also going against the number one defense from a year ago.
Going through the number twos of the number one defense. Right. So, but they've picked strategically. I think they should pick strategically when they kind of give their reps and to whom. Because as you're seeing, there's always – not only is it just getting your ones the right sort of reps, so it's smart for – and I get to say we because I work for the Bills for the next week. We get to see the Bills go against – you know, the young guys are going against Matt Ryan. That's wonderful for the development of which defensive backs to pick, and even the front with the rotation and who's going to be around there. So that's cool. But some of these other teams, it doesn't make sense to, for example, it was smart of Josh McDaniel not to play against the Jags his ones with the Hall of Fame game. Mm-hmm. Right. That made a lot of sense. Why would you put them out there? Same thing for the Jags. Why would you put you don't need that? The Raiders had the number one pressure front last season. You don't need, you know what? You know, let's get Trevor Lawrence like some upright, you know, reps next year as opposed to just starting with being on his back.
So you say pick your opponent.
So that you answer the question that you'd like to know about your team. Don't worry about it's the third game. We get to play one half. Otherwise, we're not the starter.
That's what you're getting.
Things have evolved, too. Like, Steve, you said you just play 6 preseason games. Now you can do these controlled scrimmages.
Sure.
And that is putting in good work, and you're going through the mechanics of your offense and defense. I think things have really changed.
One of the things, too, that Sean McDermott said in our production meeting was the coaching staff is new, particularly on the offensive side of the ball for the Bills. New voices, new collaboration, And he has spent the entire training camp for the last 3 weeks being the lead official. Like, he has to blow the play dead. He has to protect. He has to be the one to protect the quarterback. He has to be the one to call the play. He has to spot the ball. Says, "I want 3rd and 10 here. I want to." Now, he gets to be an actual head coach on the sidelines. That's kind of a big deal, given that one side of his football team, the offensive side, has a lot of new moving parts.
Have you seen? So obviously, week one is against the Rams. You see, like, you know, Sean McVay has a guy that, like,
yes. The get back coach.
Yes, the get back coach.
Like, and I think that's going to be funny. I wonder if Sean McDermott needs a get back coach just for the one game to, like, get back into his normal groove.
Yeah, it was interesting. He said Ken Dorsey is going to sit upstairs. And
I think I need to know more about Ken Dorsey. I think I need to, like, hang out with him more. Right? He sounds fun. He sounds really fun.
The story goes that he's a little bit of an official abuser.
Yeah.
He yells at officials. So, and he's up in prominence. He's got to be the guy standing there they're putting him upstairs because they don't want a penalty. And they don't want him to get fined, maybe, right? So
he sounds fun.
Right. He sounds like a man after my own heart, because I know there may not be – I'm definitely in the all-time top 10 for the worst possible player at abusing officials.
Josh Allen said, "He never lets me forget his college record." Josh will be like, "What was it, Ken? 36-4, 32-8.
Right.
And Ken's always like 38-2. That was my record in college at Miami. Yeah. Andrew, when it comes to preparing for a game like this, for preseason games, it's not a 53-man roster on each side of the ball. It is 53 plus 40 on each team, basically. So when you're making your chart, when you're deciding, okay, here's the storylines we want to talk about, here's everything I need to know about these almost 100-man rosters, what is the difference here from preseason to regular season in the volume that you have to prepare for?
I have a giant poster board that, like, wouldn't even be good for a 10-year-old class project because it's too big for them.
Right.
You know, look, it's different than a regular season game because I'm wearing a Bills shirt with a Bills microphone, and this broadcast is for the Bills, right? Even though it's on NFL Network tomorrow, if you're a Colts fan in California, you're probably not going to like the broadcast you're going to hear.
Sorry.
Because we're all about the Bills on this broadcast.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they have their own announcers for Indianapolis, and that's the difference between the
regular. It's one of the few times you can be and I said this before, you can be an unapologetic homer. It's all Bills all the time, and you'll get a name and number of a guy from the Colts who tackled a player, and then we're moving on back to the other side of the field. So that's different.
Speaking of being an unapologetic homer, from each of you guys, maybe, is there a player that you've studied, that you've watched, that maybe won't see the field a lot in this first preseason game, but somebody that you're really excited about, whether it's his story or whether it's what he did in training camp? Andrew, I'll start with you.
Well, I mentioned Benford earlier, and at our production meeting today, I asked Brandon Bean how they went about finding him. Obviously, a smaller school at Villanova. How do you get to know a guy like that? He shared the whole backstory of that, which we'll definitely tell on the broadcast tomorrow. But it's those types of things when you talk about the difference between a regular season or preseason game. You also have more time to dive into these stories because people want to hear more about these guys they might not know about. And I'm excited to do that as well.
Cynthia, who's the player for you?
Well, I'm kind of like, I really want to know what's going to happen in the slot for this team. I think it's a really important part of the roster that they paid a lot of attention to, bringing in Jamison Crowder, of course, and then Khalil Shakir. You got to draft the right people and put them in the right. And then, of course, I've been hearing all these great things about the camp that Isaiah McKenzie's been having, and he's just got such a great personality. And I don't know if nationally people know, like, that he's just, like, full of joy and fun and, like, happiness. And so I'm really happy to kind of figure out. We'll probably see more of that in a different game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this will be the game where we really see a ton of that. Mm-hmm. But those are some people who I have my eye on in terms of how interesting is this going to get. I don't know. I have like a love affair with the slot there because, you know, that's when you first saw Josh Allen get good.
It's an important position for Josh Allen. He loves that security blanket, that dump off target.
One of the other things, too, one of the guys I'm looking at is Christian Benford. And you think down the big picture, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here, but Tremaine Edmonds is in the last year of his contract. He plays a position that has been undervalued.
You mean Terrell?
Terrell Bernard.
Christian Benford. We all love Terrell, Christian Benford.
Yes, okay.
47.
Some popular names here.
Let me look at my board. Yeah, Terrell Bernard. He's he's in a spot. They draft him. Tremaine Edmonds is in the last year of his contract at a position that has been kind of devalued in the NFL. So if Tremaine Edmonds, as good as he has played and as big a part of this team as he has been since day one, you go down that road of starting to pay a guy the top of the market money at a position that has been undervalued, or do you draft a guy like Benford the year before that and get him acclimated, and all of a sudden you can let Tremaine Edmonds make a ton of money for somebody else and at a position that you've devalued or don't hold in that high esteem, and then you got this young player. And the interesting part for me is, and the reason I bring it up, is Benford could not be more different than Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds is an enormous physical specimen, a condor-like guy who is very – he's a smart player, very A equals B, B equals C, therefore
transitive
A
property.
Equals C. Right. He is like, okay, if this is the defense calling, I go here. Mm-hmm. Benford is like, I'm just going to react. I'm going to have play. He's completely instinctual, and he's a small linebacker.
I was going to say, you look at this athlete. Linebacker, you look at where the Bills drafted him, and you go on Twitter, you listen to networks, and they're saying, maybe this guy got drafted a little bit too high, but the scouting department has proved time and time again that they know what they're doing, and you see it show up in training camp practices when Terrell Bernard is breaking up passes, when Terrell Bernard is forcing fumbles and is playing with who you would think would be projected starters.
Right. How did we get this far without bringing up, you know, DJ, Vaughn, Juan, Don, the sauce? Because, I mean, think about that, right? Like, so now you have, in addition to kind of who's going to play the Will and who's going to be the Mike and how's that all going to net out with these two different body types? Now you bring in good old Von Miller, who will not stop dancing. And if you don't know that DJ reference, you have to Google it because that's his DJ name.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know that you go to a lot of Club Live parties in Miami Super Bowl, but he was DJing down for those. Right. It was quite interesting. But it's going to change the shape of the defensive front. And so there, you know, you already saw a lot of rotations. Now you can add even more folds because, I mean, to see Von Miller in person, I was lucky. I live, you know, in Los Angeles. I saw the Rams up close and personal at the back end of that season. Holy smokes. Like, that is something very different. And this is already the team that had the second highest pressure rate in the NFL last season. Of course, you're sack leader now on a different team. But ultimately, you bring in Von Miller. And the shape's different. Ed Oliver, good luck stopping him. Good luck. Have fun with that. And that interior situation is just going to be so much better for I don't want to be a guard facing anyone.
DaQuan Jones, Tim Settle, Jordan Phillips.
Jordan Phillips saw career high numbers when he was playing defensive tackle here. He was our leader in sacks one of the seasons that he played here. And one thing that I've loved to watch this defensive line is you have seen the confidence level just shoot through the roof now that Von Miller is on the defensive line with them.
They're having fun.
They're having fun. Yes. They're happy. They were dominating in practices. Yes, you could say it was because the offensive line has dealt with some injuries in training camp. They are now healthier. But boy, oh boy, do they look like they're ready to
wreck some
teams.
You know whose O-line isn't healthy, isn't going to be good this year, isn't going to be as good as it was last year? The Rams.
That should be
Andrew Whitworth. You get rid of Andrew Whitworth and you don't get better? Oh, okay, got it. Like, I'm telling you, I think that people are low-key not looking at that as that first. I know we're projecting forward now about a month, but, you know, that's going to be that is a huge matchup. That is that should be a postseason game. I mean, goodness, like, that's just going to be so much fun to watch. And I think a very big key to that game is the fact that you got a new left tackle, Matthew Stafford's banged up, and now you got Von Miller.
Later. Yeah.
See you later.
Can I go on record that say I think Ed Oliver is going to have a huge year.
I do, yes. too. I do, too.
He better.
Write that on the whiteboard.
He better.
Yes. August 12th.
August 12th. Andrew Catalan said it. Predicted
how many
Oliver
sacks? He would have had four last year. So what are we going to say?
Four last year.
What are we going?
Had another
double
four?
Eight. Okay.
Eight sacks for Ed Oliver.
I think that you have two guys get in multiple in double digits. Because remember, this is a team that's going to be facing a lot of passes late in games, right? I think this is a better team even than last year.
People are going to play catch-up.
They're going to have to play catch-up. And the more passes you face, the more chances you get to rush the passer.
Well, they certainly – and it's interesting, even if the offense does sputter, their defensive line is much bigger and more athletic than it was a year ago. DaQuan Jones, Tim Settle, and Jordan Phillips are – all bigger and more effective players than the guys they had in there. You know, we all loved
them. Do you stand next to them? And
oh my gosh.
How do you feel when you stand next to them?
listen, Jordan Phillips is a he's giant.
No, Jordan Phillips is one of the things.
And I said we had Tim Settle next to us on the show during the week. It was when we were at St. John Fisher, and it felt like you were sitting 3 feet from him, but he's touching you, right? So that's how wide he is, right? It's unbelievable. So they're going to be better against the run. So even if the offense doesn't force them to throw, they're going to force offenses to throw because there's not going to be any more games where teams can throw the ball three times and still win the game. So I think they're going to be
much more. Hadn't been many before that either.
Yeah, that's maybe one of a kind. Yeah.
All right, Cynthia, Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to be on with us here on Friday afternoon. You guys can catch them a part of the preseason broadcast tomorrow, Saturday at 4 p.m. as the Bills take on the Indianapolis Colts. Our guy Steve Tasker also going to be a part of that broadcast too.
We could say we.
We
take on the Colts.
We are taking on the Colts. Preseason game 1 out of 3 coming to you live Saturday afternoon. All right, don't go anywhere. We will be right back after this break. One Bills Live. We're presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. We're back here on One Bills Live. It's summer, and Bills head coach Sean McDermott wants us all thinking about sun defense. Coach is passionate about skin cancer prevention as it runs in his family, and he takes sun protection very seriously. Most importantly, of course, is wearing sunscreen. Right now, you can stop by your local Wegmans for all of your sun protection needs. Wegmans will donate $1 for every Wegmans sunscreen product sold through August 31st in Buffalo, Rochester, and Syracuse stores. It's a great way to protect your family and help the fight against skin cancer. And think sun defense like Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We've got a couple callers hanging on the line here, so we are going to go to the phones. First off, Doug from Rochester. You're on with us, Doug.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Just a quick question. The wide receiver room is full of talent. Do you think they're keeping 7 wideouts, or what do you think
That's a good question, Doug, and we've talked about it. I think they will keep 7.
There's 11 right now.
There's 11. I think they will keep 7 on the active roster. They'll activate 6 on game day. That's my guess. They go 3 wide all the time, and I think 7's the number because of the fact that they need a guy in case somebody goes down. They want to have the right guy, plus they want to fill all the roles. Kumerow's going to be active. He's going to be on special teams. Maybe somebody, if they keep Khalil Shakir active, maybe he returns punts or kicks. Maybe Isaiah McKenzie can do it in a pinch. Yeah, I think 7 is the number, but that's just me. They'll keep at least 6, but I think there's a chance they keep 7 and only activate 6 on game day.
I can't remember last year if it was 6 or 7. I want to say 6.
I think it was both. I think at one point they had seven. Injuries or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how Marquez Stevenson got on the field late in the year. They activated a 7.
Yeah, because he was out for those 6 weeks with that injury that he had, and then he got activated. It'll be interesting to see if one of the wide receivers ends up as our punt and kick returner too. That's going to be a fun battle to watch here in preseason games. All right, thanks for the call, Doug.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to Brennan. Brennan, you are now on with us. Let's see.
Fan, and I was wondering if you realistically see the 49ers and Bills playing in the Super Bowl this season.
Do I predict the Bills 49ers? Oof, that'd be hard, but hard to predict it. It certainly could happen, but I don't know if Trey Lance is going to be able to, in his first year as a starter, go to the Super Bowl and beat and win in the NFC, although we've spoken about that the AFC is a much more quarterback-rich conference than the NFC. In the NFC, you got to get by Rodgers, Brady, which is no small feat. Rodgers and Brady, Murray.
Stafford,
yes. And two of those three, or three of those, they're all in the same division. So if you can win that division, if San Francisco, then yes, that could happen. And of course, yeah, if you give the Bills the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, sure, they're the betting favorite, they're going to get there, sure. So, yeah, you could see the Bills 49ers in the Super Bowl. After all these years, Chris Berman's prediction would come true. But there you go.
Thanks for the call, Brennan. It'll be interesting to see what the 49ers can do with this season with some of their pieces back. All right, yeah. Dennis is on the line with us. Dennis from Grand Island. What question do you have for us, Dennis? Come on, call screener. There we go. Hello, Dennis.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Good. What's up?
I'm curious about the kickers and stuff like that. Like, we went to the Steelers game last year and saw a horrible punting game. You know what I'm saying? How do you predict, is this kicker accurate? I know he can kick long. You know what I'm saying? I was wondering about the punting game more than anything, and how do you think the place kicker is going to be this year?
Well, I'll just read you Tyler Bass's numbers from last year. He was overall, he was 28 of 32 at an 87.5% make. He was 15 of 15 from 29 yards and in, 7 of 8 from 30 to 39 yards, 4 of 5 from 40 to 49, and 2 of 4 from 50 plus. And he was good on all 51 of his PATs. So Tyler Bass had a really, really good year last year. No question about it. He's pushing 90%. He's a solid player. No question about it. And I'll say this too. I wasn't thrilled with the way Matt Hawk was holding for him last year. I don't know that he was. So I think maybe that was what led to the only four misses he had. That plus kicking in 50-mile-an-hour winds and horrible weather conditions. So I think Tyler Bass had a great year. Matt Araiza.
Who do you want to see hold for him?
No, I don't care either one. I think if whoever it's going to be, whether it's Hawk again or whether it's Araiza, I've said it publicly, it's not a hard skill to learn. And all you need to do is practice it and practice it hard and make it important. So I think whichever one of those guys does hold, that ability, particularly if they're very close in their punting prowess, if the club knows that both of them can punt in the league and they'd be happy to have either one, then it may come down to Tyler Bass telling Matt Smiley, I want this guy to do it. I want that guy to do it. And that might be the deciding factor if Tyler Bass has a favorite holder. But Matt Araiza famously has been working on it because he didn't have to do it in college and has not done it before. That doesn't really scare me too much because it's not a hard thing to learn, particularly for an NFL athlete.
And in training camp practices, they were switching off every day. So Matt Araiza would have a day where he would hold, and then Matt Hawk would have a day where he would hold. They do have special teams periods where we do get to see the punters punt some balls. I would say that wasn't a huge volume at all of training camp. So I think we're really going to get a good sample size here in the preseason games. I'm looking forward to seeing how the punter competition evolves now that we're finally playing some live preseason games. I would expect both of those players to be on and off the field getting equal amounts of reps as they decide who's going to be the punter and the holder on this team.
Right.
Thanks for the call, Dennis.
Thanks, guys.
And one thing that Matt Smiley did say is he was asked, you know, if Tyler Bass has a preference and who's holding the ball, how will that affect who you guys choose is going to be the punter? And Matthew Smiley, the special teams coordinator, said, you know, we will take into account what Tyler says, but it's not Tyler's job to choose who's going to be the punter or the holder on this team. It's my job and Sean's job to help make that decision.
Right.
We've got a couple more fan mailbag questions that we want to get to. Jonathan, we'll move on to our second one. He says, how is Jordan Poyer doing? Is he recovering well? Poyer has been on the sideline of about just every practice after he went down with that elbow injury. He did come out with not a sling, but some not hardware, but it wasn't a sleeve. It was something that he had on his elbow, and in the last couple practices, I think the last one, he was down to just wearing a sleeve on his elbow,
right.
Which
you
would
practicing.
Say points in the right direction. Right. Yes, he hasn't hit the field at all for practice. Originally, when he got hurt, Sean McDermott said it was going to be a few weeks. They're hoping before the season starts. So we'll see how he's progressing. But in the last practice, he was down to just a sleeve on his elbow, which I think would mean something good.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any issue with him being ready to go on opening day or maybe even at the second or third preseason game. But he's in good spirits. And it's just one of those things where you got to kind of wait for it to get better. There's nothing you can obviously rehab it if there is some of that. But I would also say this, it was a hyperextended elbow. And you've seen guys, particularly most notably a guy like J.J. Watt, who wears an elbow brace mm-hmm. that goes from just above his wrist all the way up to his just below his shoulder. They've got braces and supports where Poirier could play if the thought was that he didn't want to straighten it out or lock it out, you know, straight, or if he could lock it out straight but maybe there was a little bit of pain, they could give him a range of motion that he could go to the limit and then it would stop.
It's just
so
like
it
what guys,
what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be 100% for him to get on the field because yeah. of these braces and supports yeah. they could put on
I would
them.
Say it's just like what guys put on their knees after an ACL tear. When they're first coming back to the field, you see a big knee brace.
Right.
You can choose the movement, the extension that you need in your knee in that limb. So
you could and I haven't asked him this, but you could say to Jordan, if it was a regular season, you know, kind of thing, if it was the regular season, would you go? And he, you know, there's a chance he might say, yeah, I'd be going. I'd be playing if it was
a
regular season.
Most of those guys want to get back to the field as soon as possible and don't want to miss any time.
I don't think it was threatening his long-term health or his chance to play on the field this season, not even in this preseason. So while he didn't stay out of the reps, I don't think the team is that interested in making sure he takes reps in preseason. I think he's okay.
All right, one more quick one before we go to break. Jonathan, the question that everybody has right now, are the Bills pursuing OBJ or not? Asking for a friend. What do you think about the situation, Steve?
Here's what I think. We've heard that some, more so with Brandon Bean than maybe any general manager we've had in recent memory, over the last decade and a half, we hear more from Brandon Bean about what goes on behind the scenes, how he made this deal, who he called, the sequence of events. So, extrapolating what we know about what happened in all these other events where he got Von Miller and they made the trades for, you know, for Steph Diggs and all this stuff, it seems obvious to me that they know the situation with OBJ. They've talked to his people and say, oh, what's the deal? How's he feeling? What's going on? What's he thinking about? How badly does he want to play? When's he going to be ready? When does he think he's going to be ready to play? Would he be willing to wait and sign then? Is he going to wait and to sign with the team when he's 100%? They are asking questions and getting feedback from OBJ's representation, maybe from the guy himself, about what he's thinking and what his plans are for this season. Whether they're interested or not may be irrelevant because the first question might have been a negative non-starter. Mm-hmm. But they'll ask those questions to find out what he's thinking, what he wants, how he's doing. That's what Brandon Bean does because that's his job. So whether that means they're closer to signing him or not, I don't know.
We have no idea.
We don't.
We have no insider.
And they're not
information.
Saying anything.
I'm sorry.
But I'll say this. I would be shocked if they haven't kicked the tires.
I will say this. Brandon Bean always says the puzzle is never finished to this team.
That's true.
We are always trying to get better as a football team. So if somebody is out there that we can work a deal out with, that we can afford, that will help us get better, they will entertain it. They will pick up the phone. They will talk. They're not a scouting department. He's not a general manager that just shoots things down before learning about it, before answering the phone, before talking through some things. So
here's the thing, too. The Bills have got some leverage with guys like this. One, they're a contender. It gives OBJ a chance to come to a second half of the season, get ready to be a free agent at the end of the year. It gives the Bills a boost. Good players make you better, and mm-hmm. he's a good player. So if they can get 100% of OBJ just for like maybe six games even, won't cost them that much. And it'll give him a chance to showcase his skills to sign a contract with the team going forward after the season. So there's a lot in there for OBJ to be happy about, plus playing with a really good quarterback.
We will see. We will see. We're closing things out here. And when we come back from the break, One Bills Live, we're presented by Clyde Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back into One Bills Live. We're closing up shop here on a Friday afternoon. Steve's doing his stretches. He's yawning. He's had it with this day.
I get some extra sleep tonight. It's going to be a long day tomorrow.
You got
game
it.
Game day.
You got
game
it.
Day.
Whoop. Whoop, whoop.
We don't do Bills Live after the game tomorrow or Bills tonight.
But this duo is going to be back this
That's
season.
That's right. We are going to be doing that
for our post-game shows.
For the post-game shows live. Mm-hmm. We'll do the live show.
Live after
Right after. We'll get all the live sound bites from all the players and coaches.
You know it.
And then we'll package that up for Bills tonight and put it out there, and you'll be able to watch it throughout the week.
All right, what are you most excited about tomorrow now that we're going to see some live football?
I want to see guys play real games and get tackled to the ground. You know what I mean? I want to see football.
The former player is ready to see tackling.
I want to see somebody go to the ground and in anger. Yeah, so we'll see.
All right, thanks for listening here on Friday afternoon. On Monday, it's going to be Chris Brown and Josh Reed on the show. Steve Tasker is going to be out, and I will be doing some work. So
for a change,
you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Have fun at the Bills game, everybody.
Enjoy it. Bills against Indianapolis Colts.